Hey everyone, this is Brandon from the Basket Bloggers, bringing you another edition of the Driving and Diming podcast, brought to you by SeatGeek, the best site to get tickets for your favorite concerts, comedy acts, and sporting events. On this week's episode, Rob and I catch up on some NBA offseason news, such as the Kawhi Leonard and Carmelo Anthony trades. Thanks to our newest sponsor, Amazon, for supporting our site. Check out the links down below for a free 30-day trial of Amazon Music, Amazon Prime, as well as a free 30-day trial of audiobooks, which comes with two free books to start. If you already have Prime, we can get you a free 30-day of HBO. Check out the links below to get more details on this Basket Bloggers offer. But without further ado, here is the Driving and Diming podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Driving and Diming. As always, it's your host, Rob, and I'm here with all-star producer Brandon Sysak.
All-star.
All-star.
That's high honor. Thank you.
Yep, fan vote. You got in, barely. You're like the 15th man on the roster.
Nice. I will be the Al Horford of the podcast producer All-Stars. It's fine.
Solid screens and passing. What more do you need? So today, we're going to talk about some free agency, because it's been a couple weeks from us without a podcast, and we had a lot to catch up on. We took a couple-week break. I went some sightseeing, saw Little Caesars Arena for the first time. That was really cool down in Detroit.
Yeah, the Pizza Palace is great.
Yeah, but...
Or the Pizza Arena. I never can tell. I can't decide which one I like better, but...
The Pizza Palace just kind of makes me sad because it makes me think of, you know, the Palace in Auburn Hills, which I dearly miss.
R.I.P.
Rip.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I actually really liked the arena. I thought it was super nice. I loved the concourse. So I have, you know, like, it kind of, like, I was, like, really grumpy about going there for the first time, but the parking was super easy. It was really nice being in downtown Detroit again, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I went to see a Red Wing game there. I haven't been to a Pistons one yet, but yeah, it was still nice. Like, it was, you know, the facility is really, really nice. You can tell everything's, you know, they've put a lot of thought into everything, and it's a good stadium. They'll have to grow on us because, you know, it's so new, and it replaced a couple of really important buildings for Detroit sports fans. So,
well, maybe me and you can meet in Detroit one day, kind of meet in the middle and go see a Pistons game.
I would like that.
Okay, so let's get into this free agency crap, and let's start with, I think, the biggest news of the offseason, which we have not yet to talk about, is Kawhi Leonard being traded from the San Antonio Spurs to the Raptors. Him and Danny Green getting sent up to Canada for Jakob Poeltl. I must say Jacob. It's Jakob.
Jakob.
Jakob. And, you know, the all-star guard, all-NBA, DeMar DeRozan. He was also in that deal.
Yeah, I didn't. Are you sure?
No, I thought it was. Well, at first, I thought it was just for Jakob, and I was really excited. But no, I'm just kidding. I forget that Jakob Poeltl is an NBA player most of the time, if I'm going to be honest. And actually, going into the draft, I had him as my number one ranked rookie, most likely to bust.
See, I was. Was he in the Jaylen Brown? He was in the Jaylen Brown draft, right?
I think so.
I wanted the Celtics to take him over Jaylen Brown.
Number three?
Yeah. That hasn't aged extremely well, but I stand by my 2014 thinking, I guess.
You know what? I'm just glad the Hornets didn't take him because I kind of wish they did because they need more big white boys.
Yes. They are the epicenter of giant white centers.
Okay, so I know I just wrote an entire article earlier this week about why we shouldn't judge star trades too early, but you know what? Let's do it. Let's judge the star trade. What do you think?
You know, I threw a Twitter poll out there, I think the day that it happened, or maybe the day after, about kind of what people thought the value was for the Kawhi trade, because when it first broke, I kind of thought that it was a really low return for this guy that was a top player in the NBA, but the more I sat and thought about it, you know, I really like both sides. When you look at what the Spurs got, they got an all-star guard, so they can still be a top half team in the West. And then for the Raptors, they get Kawhi Leonard, who could potentially be one of the best players in the entire conference and could put, I think a healthy Kawhi puts them in the conversation with the Sixers and the Celtics. So for this one-year shot, I think, why not? They got to try it.
I'm going to take the exact opposite side of you. I think this was a terrible deal for both sides.
Okay.
I think the Spurs should have told Kawhi to suck it up and that he was under contract. And I would have offered him the Supermax, and then just I would have sat there and waited and waited and waited and see when what he would have done. Because, like, if he was really going to sit out the entire season, I'm pretty sure they could have fined him and not paid him. Yeah. So I would have – just like I said with Kyrie Irving, it's like when you have these top players in the NBA, you don't trade them no matter what. And if they leave, so be it. But, like, I would have tried to make it work, at least until, like, the trade deadline. And, yeah, you know, the DeMar DeRozan thing, he was, like, the most beloved Raptor of all time. Of all time! Like, people are already saying that he should get a statue outside of the arena formerly known as the Air Canada Center. And
I did not know that, by the way. I didn't know it. It's what, the Scotiabank Arena?
Yeah.
Lame. Air Canada Center's there. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. You can,
no, it's all good. But I feel like, imagine, like, it reminded me of the Chauncey Billups trade that Detroit made many years ago for Allen Iverson. You give up the most beloved player, one of the most beloved in franchise history, and you bring in an older, washed-up star who doesn't want to be there and is probably going to leave. And I've seen this book too many times. You know, I've read this exact same story quite a few times since following the NBA, and Kawhi's going to leave, or he's going to be injured and not play well. And then DeMar DeRozan is going to be grumpy, but he's going to be in the Spurs, and he's going to be fine. But the Spurs lost their top five player in the NBA, you know, the heir apparent to Tim Duncan. And the Raptors traded away their, you know, their most successful player in their franchise history, probably.
Which trade do you think was sadder? Is something that just popped in my head. Isaiah Thomas being shipped from Boston or DeMar getting shipped from Toronto?
I think you gotta go Isaiah Thomas, just because, like, he broke his, like, face and kept on playing after his sister died.
Yeah. He lost a tooth or something, right? Or he, yeah. Oh, God. I do agree.
Danny
like,
Ainge
I,
is a cold, cold man.
He is. He don't play. Why I love him. You know, when you look at that, that was the biggest part that, you know, made me, you know, I felt bad for him, because even in the couple of days before when this was a rumor, there were, like, these things, like, on Woj and Shams were, like, DeMar has talked to Raptors front office and he won't be traded, and all of a sudden he was. So I think, like, especially if it's true that he kind of was promised he wasn't going to get moved and then he was, like, I would especially feel bad, but, you know.
My biggest,
I get it that it's a business, but that's, yeah. I mean, that's cold.
I guess my biggest thing is, like, if I thought the Raptors could win an NBA championship this season, I'd be like, okay, like, I see where you're coming from. But, like, are you just going to do this just to get stomped by the Warriors in the finals? Because, like, I don't even think that at this point the Raptors are better than the Rockets still, if I'm going to be honest. Like, if they would have been able to kept DeRozan and added Kawhi as, like, a third star, I'd been like, okay, yeah, I see you. Like, if they would have moved, like, Ananobi in Portal and, I don't know, like, Deion Wright, is that how you pronounce his name? Deion?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, like, if I would have moved, like, a package of young players and picks, I would have seen that as making sense, but it's like, is it really that big of a difference between Kawhi and DeMar where they're going to be able to, like, step up, make the finals, and win? It's like, are you just going to go and get swept by the Warriors? Because that's just going to be just as sad.
Yeah. I think for that franchise, I think just getting to the finals would be enough. But I do agree, like, it, I think it was more or less just a reset, and I think maybe they were just trying to, you know, because that backcourt of DeMar and Kyle Lowry always have, not issues, but the postseason doesn't always go well.
What? They don't have issues? Yes, they have issues. You could call their entire playoff, like, record issues.
Yeah. I still remember that Cleveland series. Valanciunas was the best player for the Raptors. Like, he controlled, I think, game one and two. It was, yeah. So I think maybe just the Raptors were like, whoa. Because my thing was, one of my hot takes that I didn't get to say before it happened is If I was the Raptors, I would have traded DeMar and Kyle Lowry and just started over.
I don't think anybody will take Kyle Lowry as a problem with that contract. I think they probably tried to move him first, before DeMar, and people probably just said no. Because they got point guard depth, and I think they would have preferred to start Van Vliet, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. I think if you call the Magic are dumb. They'll do it.
I don't think so. Like, I think they want to stay young because they want to take Isaiah Thomas.
If they want to send up Vucevic I guess Diallo's gone too, but they would have tried to make it work.
Right.
With the Raptors, they were just in a weird spot, and I thought it would be best for them to go the other way, but they pushed the chips even further on the table and said, we want Kawhi. We want to go for this one-year shot, so...
Yeah,
we'll
sometimes I feel like teams should just be happy with being good. Coming from I don't know, do you want to call us sad Pistons fan? Is that what we are? Are we sad?
Unhappy Pistons.
So, excuse me. Ah, God, something caught in my throat. So, I don't know, I just feel like teams like the Spurs. It's like, if you stay good enough... long enough, like, good things will happen. And sometimes I feel like teams are too quick to blow it up or, like, are too worried about going for a championship, but they should just sustain success, especially in a city like Toronto where they love the Raptors.
Yeah, I think especially when, you know, you've got such a rabid fan base that is really invested in them. As long as you're not, like, scraping the bottom of the barrel, I think we're going to be able to attract a good crowd and a good fan base. So, I mean, it sucks that they keep going to the playoffs and keep getting pounded by the Cavaliers. But this year, the boogeyman is gone.
Right.
So maybe the core would have, maybe all of their system would have worked if they didn't have LeBron. But, I mean, now we'll never know because
LeBron
will never get that chance.
Yeah, the Raptors always play the Celtics really well. So I thought, I was like, you know, once LeBron left, I was like, you know, like, you could have really talked me into the Raptors even without Kawhi, you know, with just DeMar. Just like, okay, are they the best team? You know, they had the best record last season. I mean, like, you could have probably talked me into it. I have a stat for you. Did you know J.R. Smith shot 75% from three against the Raptors last playoff series?
I did not know that. That is
so it's like, there's just some bad luck going into that. So, that's not going to happen again.
And I think psychologically, I think there's just something about seeing somebody that runs really well against you. And I don't want to make it seem like the Raptors, like, always get psyched out by LeBron, but I think there is some truth to, like, when they see him and, what was their coach's name?
Dwayne Casey?
Dwayne Casey, sorry.
He's our coach's name now. You better get used to it.
When Dwayne Casey and his staff saw, I don't know if it just was something, some sort of block or what, but now without LeBron in the system, maybe their whole thing would have worked. They wouldn't have gotten scared and gone back to their old ways. But I don't know. Now it's going to be hopefully a healthy Kawhi and rest of the team.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of this. And maybe, you know, maybe they'll prove me wrong. Maybe they'll sweep through the East with the best. Okay, is Kawhi Leonard the best player in the East? Just be honest with me. Is he?
It depends on how you feel about Giannis.
About who?
Giannis?
Oh, okay. I thought you said Yanmo, and I was like, is that somebody I'm not familiar with?
Yes. he's a two-way player for the Magic that you don't know about.
I don't think Giannis. I think even Giannis' best season last year, I think he struggled to get in the top five of MVP voting, right? Like, if you would this season, you would have said, Harden, LeBron, Steph, KD, then Giannis, or maybe would AD be in front of him, too?
Yeah.
But that two seasons ago, the last Kawhi healthy, I think he was straight number three. I think it was LeBron, Durant, Kawhi. And I think there was no conversation about it.
Yeah. I think those two would definitely be on a tier by themselves. And then
no Embiid?
You would go into No, then you would go into Embiid. I think Embiid is solid at number three. Mm. And then you would keep going down.
I'm curious to see what the Sixers do this season because I'm really looking forward to Simmons and Embiid having the second year together. I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm interested that they didn't – I mean, there weren't a lot of marquee free agents that became available, but I'm interested that they didn't do more with their offseason.
I really liked that Wilson Chandler trade, getting him for basically nothing.
Yeah. No, I think – like when what they shot for was Paul George, and then they ended up with Wilson Chandler, which isn't bad. I don't mean that to be bad, but I mean they still upgraded. He's Robert Covington insurance.
Right. So when Covington goes 0-for-15 from three, and in the second round they have somebody else to throw out there. No, and like I like to say about it, it's like kind of like your opportunity cost. It's like when you struck out on Paul George, you were able to get Wilson Chandler for basically nothing on a one-year contract, so you don't use up your cap space for next year. So it doesn't really cost you anything in the long term at all. And let's be honest, what's like for the amount of money that Paul George got to Wilson Chandler's money this season, is there that big of a difference between them two?
Wow.
If you think about it, like money wise, like is Paul George twice the player that Wilson Chandler is?
Now, are we talking outside of a Russell Westbrook system? Because Russell Westbrook, Paul George is not great.
I don't want to say this, but I think Paul George is highly overrated. Like, if you told me, okay, what does Paul George do extremely well? Can you give me an answer?
No. I'm trying to, I'm like racking my brain. I'm like, I know he's a good defender, a fairly good defender.
Yeah, he's solid.
He
wasn't even the best defender on their team last year. That was Andre Roberson.
Shout out to the Robes.
Yeah, no, like he wasn't even. Okay, so this is his stats from last season. 22 points, just under 6 rebounds. 3 assists. He shot 43% from the field and 40% from the three-point line, which is good. But his PER was only 18.7, which is just slightly above average, with 15 being the average. So he's a good three-point shooter, but, like, okay, is he just a slightly better defender slash scorer than J.J. Redick?
Is he the best 3-and-D player in the league?
No, that would be probably Kawhi, right?
Yeah, but Kawhi's a star. Like he's just
Paul George isn't a star.
Is he just a 3-and-D player?
I don't know. Like, I don't know where to rank him now that we're talking about this. Like, he's definitely not in my top 10, and people are paying him and treating him like he's a top 10 player. I think that's the perception around the league. But I would say he's definitely top 25, but like he's not the best defender on it. He's not the best anything on his team.
Yeah, he's really not. But I think, again, speaking to what he does for Russell Westbrook, I think he's probably Kevin Durant was the best pairing next to him talent-wise.
Yeah.
But I think schematically Paul George is a good fit.
Yeah.
Paul doesn't need the ball. He kind of does his own thing, and when Russell gets tired from dribbling for 20 seconds, they throw it to him, and then he figures something out.
Right.
And then they, you know. So, no,
like, Paul George is a slightly better version than Oladipo, right?
Yeah.
What's Oladipo's contract, you know?
I don't remember.
Let me Google this. So, Vic Oladipo, I would say he's very comparable to Paul George, right? Very similar.
Yeah.
He's an average salary of $21 million. So, that's pretty solid, right?
Yeah, no, that's not bad.
Paul George's average salary is $34
million. Hmm. That's a lot.
Right. And that's my biggest thing is, let's see. Now, let's compare their stats, because now I'm all in on this. So, Victor Oladipo, this past season, averaged more points on better shooting than Paul George. He averaged 23 points on 47% field goal percentage. He averaged almost the same amount of rebounds, 5. He averaged more assists. Yeah.
So their trade was not a fair deal, then.
And this gets back to my point from the article that I wrote earlier this week, where you can't judge these trades too quickly, and I think that's the biggest thing that I wanted to take away from the Kawhi deal as well, because people are saying that it's such a win for the Raptors, but like you got to be careful. You know, DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge could end up winning 55 games this next season, and Paul and Kawhi Leonard could never look the same again with injury, and the Spurs are going to come out looking like it's the best trade in NBA history.
Mm-hmm.
So we gotta be careful, and I'm not gonna make any sweeping discussions or sweeping judgments on this trade until we see Kawhi Leonard and see what he does in free agency, and you know what the Raptors end up doing, or who knows, maybe the Spurs can't get anything out of DeMar and it looks like a complete shit show. So we'll see. So I think we've talked enough about this trade, and for some reason we got derailed on bashing Paul George, but
I love these pods. Sometimes we go in these rabbit holes. It's great.
I expected some hot Carmelo takes, and instead we got hot Paul George takes, but it's fine. So, speaking of Carmelo Anthony, he was traded this week from the OKC Thunder, you know, Paul George's teammate, to the Atlanta Hawks, and then was promptly waived/bought out and signed with the Rockets. Is Carmelo a good basketball player?
Now, I need to verify this, because I saw this, I think, last night or earlier yesterday. You know on Twitter those 2K things where it says, it has like a picture of the player, and it says, has the player's name, 2K rating, and then a number?
Yeah.
I saw one that had Carmelo ranked as a 67. Now,
I don't think that's probably true.
I don't believe that is true either.
Oh, God.
But I wasn't complete. I didn't fall over in complete disbelief. I was like.
You're like, that could be right. Are you asking me right now? Like, I think that says a lot about our feelings about Carmelo Anthony. By all means, he's a Hall of Fame player. He is one of probably the best scorer of our generation. You know, led the league in points for several seasons. Was great in the Olympics. You know, didn't he win a championship at Syracuse?
He did.
So, he's a great player. He will leave behind a great legacy. But I think he's in that Allen Iverson kind of mold. Like I mentioned earlier, it's like you kind of, at the end of your career, and you're like, I'm still the man. It's like, no, you're terrible. Come off the bench. And he's like, no, I'm still the man. And then he gets cut after, like, 6 months, and then he never comes back.
Yeah. And I think he's a player where the game eluded, or the game advanced past his skills. Like,
that's a great point.
When you look at what his best skill, like, you build a team around Carmelo, what is your offense? Dribble? Give the ball to him and let him work.
Yep.
And now with all this ball movement and all this, well, he's a good shooter from three, relatively, but
except for last season,
three-point shooting and all this, you know, he just, I don't understand. And that's what, like, his fit on the Rockets is so weird. Like, maybe he can make it work because James Harden and Chris Paul are 1,000 times better at facilitating an offense than Russell Westbrook. But I just don't, I don't know. I don't know what you do with current day Melo.
You know what you do with current day Melo? You cut him and don't sign him to a contract.
Yeah.
I think until he accepts the fact that at best he's a sixth man at this stage of his career, I would want no part of him.
The other thing, too, is he doesn't want to come off the bench. He still wants the start. He wants a starting job, and no one's going to do that.
Yeah, no. Like you said, the game kind of passed him by. He's an ISO scoring forward who is too slow to really play the three anymore. He doesn't play defense, And that's what a lot of power forwards need to do in today's game with the switching and the recovery and the pick and roll defense. And teams are just going to hunt him in the playoffs if you play him extended minutes. And that's kind of what Utah did, and that's why they were so successful. It's like Derek Favors outplayed Carmelo Anthony in a couple games. Derek Favors.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
So I don't know what the Rockets are doing. I know that the Vegas odds of them winning the championship go down when they sign Carmelo. So I think that's kind of indicative where people are at with him at this point. But I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. I would not want him on my team.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm the Rockets, I would have. Well, Ariza was. Because they weren't going to match that $15 million from the Suns. So Ariza was gone.
Yeah.
But you figure they let Mambute, like, because he signed what? Didn't like a
$5 million deal or something like that, yeah.
Wouldn't you, if you're the Rockets, wouldn't you rather have taken that, like, whatever you're going to take from Melo and give it to Mambute?
Yeah, I would have. I wonder if he didn't want to stay there for some reason, like if he didn't get along with the team. I feel like there was something else going on behind the scenes there, and I don't know if, you know, playing in that system rubbed him the wrong way, if he wanted to be able to do more. Maybe he didn't like playing center as much as he did. You know, you never know with these guys. So I feel like maybe he did get that kind of offer and he just decided that he wanted to go, you know, go play in LA, which I have no problem with anybody wanting to move to Los Angeles.
Nope. That's just, especially when, you know, like with the Rockets, and they rely on those power forwards to be so versatile on offense and defense. But again, it's just like you said, what are they going to do with Melo? They're going to put him out there, and they're going to play the Warriors in the conference finals, and then it's going to be like, all right, switch me under Melo, and then Kevin Durant and Steph Curry are going to have 50 points each.
Yep. It was last season, it was like when the game was, like, when the season was on the line and Billy Donovan was kind of like, okay, I have to win this series, otherwise, like, my job is going to start being looked at. At that moment, he's like, okay, goodbye, Carmelo, and he pulled him onto the bench, and he's like, okay, we're going to not do that anymore. We're going to play Patrick Patterson and, it's another power forward they had. I'm blanking.
Grant?
Yeah, Grant. And they were like, they pulled him out there and to play with the starters. And it's like, I think that says a lot when you'd rather have Jeremy Grant and Patrick Patterson on the court rather than Carmelo Anthony.
Now, do you believe in what Vegas was saying, that the Rockets' chances to go with win the title actually went down?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think he hurts them more than he helps.
It's interesting. I don't know if I've ever seen, like, a big ish, like a big name player go to a team and then, like, their odds go down.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that either.
It's weird.
Yeah, definitely.
But, I mean, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see if what Melo can bring to the team replaces Trevor Ariza and Luka Mbamute.
Yeah, so there were a couple of pieces in this trade that I think we should definitely talk about. OKC also received guard Timofey Luwawu Cabarrot from the Sixers.
Waiting on that one. That was nice. I wasn't even going to try that.
Yes.
TLC.
That's silly. Yeah, and then you also got Dennis Schroeder from the Hawks as well. Philadelphia received Mike Muscala from the Hawks. And the Hawks also received forward Justin Anderson from the Sixers. So a couple other pieces moving around here. What do you think of Schroeder going to OKC to back up Westbrook?
We had a very good discussion about this in our group chat. Shout out.
Yeah, shout out to Mr. Mike, who is a part of that and actually engages in our conversations.
Right. It doesn't make sense to me, because while it is nice that they'll have somebody else to, you know, when Russell, when they can finally pull Russell off the court, then they can just throw another playmaker out there.
Yeah.
But, like, I just, like, his salary is so big for another guard that you can't use next to Russell Westbrook. Because I don't see both of their games working at the same time. Because they both are very ball dominant. And, I mean, his contract, I think, is shorter. So maybe, it, you know, he won't be around for a while. But
yeah, he's still got at least 2 years on it, though, doesn't he?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it was nice that, you know, they, you know, when the Thunder were looking at just straight cutting him or, you know, trying to find something for him, it's nice that they were able to ship him out and get a solid level point guard, which, again, I don't understand how they did that. Like, how did the Hawks must have wanted to get rid of him so bad that they gave him up and literally got what Justin Anderson in the draft pick for?
I think the Hawks were worried about him throwing a bitch fit and killing their chemistry and butting heads with Trae Young, which is the last thing they need. I feel like they just kind of want to, like, keep Trae Young in, like, a glass case and treat him like royalty and hope he pans out. Because if Trae Young doesn't work out and Luka Doncic looks like the next coming of Larry Bird, the Hawks are going to look really stupid.
Yeah. I think it was just interesting that, you know, and that the Hawks, it all seemed like it kind of worked. I mean, Oklahoma got what they wanted in cap relief and acquiring a good young guard. The Hawks got to get trouble out of their locker room, and then Philly just got involved because.
Yeah, Philly got, you know, after the whole Bielitsa situation where he backed out of his agreed to contract, which, I mean, screw people who do that.
Weird.
Like, you agree to something, like, you freaking do it. But anyways, they got, you know, Mike Muscala, a backup big who can shoot, which I think is something that they really wanted. Space, you know, floor spacer with Simmons, and especially with a couple other guys who can't shoot, like, well, hopefully Fultz can, but you definitely know that several other players, like Simmons, cannot. TJ McConnell is another one. But, and then they also got, you know, Justin Anderson. Oh, wait, no, he went to the Hawks, which I actually like, because I feel like Anderson is still kind of like that, like, moldable clay, where if you put him in the right system, that he might be able to do something. And I think the Sixers are kind of past putting players out like that. Like, they want to win.
Yeah, they've kind of put their spot in. So back to Dennis Schroeder, I'm interested to see what his role is, whether he just becomes Reggie Jackson 2.0. Or they tried to do more, or, you know, how that would work with him.
Yeah, I think that's the whole idea, is the Reggie Jackson 2.0 thing, because I think they really liked what they had going on there. You know, and if RJ didn't throw a you know, huge hissy fit and demand to be traded, I feel like they would have just kept him and, you know, kind of signed him to a similar deal to what Schroeder's on now. But look at OKC's drafting. Like, just for a sidebar here, like, Reggie Jackson, Steven Adams, you know, like, Harden, Westbrook, Durant, Jeff Green. Like, are they the most successful drafting franchise in the last 10 years?
Yeah. And I think that's in, like, almost in, like, all sports, too. Like, it's how many teams, like, in football, hockey, baseball, you know, like,
draft
all.
Three MVPs.
Draft three MVPs, a very solid point guard, a very solid power forward in Serge Ibaka.
Yep.
And, you know, it was just, that was masterful.
Yeah, and Steve Adams, too. Like, great pick there.
Steve Adams, mm-hmm. So it's just, like, they're, you know, James Harden, Kevin Durant thing is always, I think that's one of the biggest greatness of our sports lives.
Yeah.
Is if that could have stayed together somehow, they would be running stuff.
I think, but if they had re-signed Harden, that the OKC might have been the best team in NBA history.
Yep. Right.
I think they would have eventually started Harden. I think that he would have had that breakout season that fourth year regardless. And mm-hmm. Or that fifth year, whatever it was. And I think, you know, that would have allowed Westbrook and KD to move off ball with Harden's playmaking. And I feel like that team would have just been unstoppable.
You know, when the Rockets call you about Jeremy Lamb,
Gotta
answer.
Yep. You know, and Kmart too. Like, whoa, what a great player. All right, so back to this trade. I actually really like TLC on the Thunder. I feel like he has that opportunity to become a 3-and-D two guard, which is something that the Thunder have been pining for since they drafted Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that. I like the trade on, like you said, kind of like on all sides. Like it kind of worked out for everyone. I feel okay judging this because this isn't a star trade. This is just a bunch of random players. No shot at no, yeah. No beef with Melo or, you know, Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah. I think it was just teams coming together and just, like, their needs all matching perfectly.
Right.
Like, we need to get this guy out of here. Well, we need to get this guy out of here. Like, let's make this work. And it, you know, that's very rare when, like, you know, there's not really, like, any major fleecing involved. It's just this for that. You know, we need this, we need that.
Mm-hmm. So. I completely forgot that OKC picked up Abdel Nader, who is a great defensive forward. So I think maybe that there's something that they can do with that as well. Have they re-signed Jeremy Grant?
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't sure. So they got a lot of switchy forwards in that roster now. I kind of like what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. And then they got Arles, too.
Yeah, no, I actually really like that move because they didn't really have a backup center last season. So when Steven Adams was hurt, they threw out somebody from, I don't even know his name, some scrub who couldn't play defense or offense. It was ugly. So, you know, at least having somebody who can, you know, like, run a pick and roll, I think that's a big upgrade.
And, I mean, and he hasn't, Nerlens Noel has a lot of incentive to do well because, If he does well this year, he could, you know, he missed out on, like, the big payday, you know, a couple off seasons ago. But if he can still show what he's doing, if he still shows, he's young enough where he could potentially get a decent payday next year.
Is that the biggest bullet dodged from, like, the last two seasons, is the Mavericks not signing Noel to that contract?
Especially if you would, you know, when you consider, like, him and Rick Carlisle did not get along at all.
Hate each other?
Like, if they would.
Yeah, they hate each other.
Yes. It was something like Noel didn't want to, like, work in his offense the way he wanted to.
Yep.
So then, like, he just benched him. And then the hot dog stuff happened, and then it just got, like, worse.
Stuff.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, if I was an NBA player and I was hungry, if I wasn't playing, shoot.
Go to the media booth, get some hot dogs, you know, hang out. It's fine. So, right. Is there any kind of free agency news that you want to hit on, anything that you found interesting? I know we talked about the Lakers moves shortly after the fourth, and that was the last pod we had. So we had a little bit of moving and shaking from them. Anything that caught your eye?
We talked about him a little bit earlier, but what do you think of Isaiah Thomas going to the Nuggets?
I really like that. I mean, their defense is going to be terrible, but I think they can put up 130 points every game. Which, I mean, like, you, with Jokic, your defense is already going to be terrible. So, like, why not just go all in? Like, you're not going to be able to stop anybody anyways. So, right. And they really needed, just another point guard on the roster because, you know, Jamal Murray's good, but he's kind of like a 1/2. So I think having, like, a six-man in Isaiah actually kind of works out perfectly.
Yeah. And he did well in that role with Mike Malone when they were all in Sacramento together. So I think if there are any coaches out there that could figure that out besides, like, the top-tier NBA coaches, I think Mike Malone would be able to,
be able to
work on that.
And Isaiah actually played for Malone back in Sacramento. When he had those really good seasons then. So, like, I think that's something that can definitely work when he was coming off the bench. So talking about the Nuggets and, mentioning Wilson Chandler being traded, why didn't they pay the luxury tax? Like, they have a really good team, and they just shipped off Wilson Chandler, who was a really solid forward for them, for nothing.
It would have made more sense if Michael Porter was, like, ready.
Yeah.
But I've read nothing that he is even going to try to play this year.
He just had another back surgery.
Yeah, so it really didn't make sense. Like, because my assumption was they did that because they got some good news about Michael Porter, and they were like, you know what, we don't need this extra cap, we'll just ship it out. But then Michael Porter is not going to play. So now they just have that hole at the three.
Yeah, because they're starting to start Will Barton there, which he's terribly undersized. You know, talking about defensive issues, like, God, like the only solid defensive player on that roster is Paul Millsap, who's in his 30s.
Yeah. I don't know. Because
their ownership has money. They're like, they own Walmart. Like, they have lots of money. They're going to be fine. Yeah. It's not like this is like Memphis, where the guy just had to, you know, buy out his stocks and is poor. Like, you can afford to pay the luxury tax. It's going to be fine. You're making money. You have a good team, you know. Like, you're probably going to get a national television this season. Like, you're going to be fine. You know, sell those tickets. Yeah. So, I don't know. I would have went in on that. And they moved that protected pick to get off of more money. And I don't know. It seemed like a lot of, like, really crappy moves for a team that's supposedly, like, trying to compete for a playoff spot. Like, if you really were, you wouldn't have moved Wilson Chandler and moved that pick to get off of money.
Yeah. It didn't make sense to me either. But, because the Nuggets were one of my low-key, they could hang around in the West teams this year, but now that they have the depth of the, you know, those depth problems at the three. Yeah.
Which is, like, the most important. Yeah, that's, like, the most important, like, spot on a lot of teams. I understand that, like, especially, you can't really play like small ball, like, because you really keep Jokic and Millsap on a four, but it's like you probably should have a 3-and-D like small forward.
And especially in the West, when you're playing the Warriors and the Rockets and the Thunder and the Spurs and, you know, like these teams, like, more, you know, you're playing them a lot, and if you're going to get blasted by them at that position, you're going to lose. And then you're going to be in the same friggin' spot you were last year, where you have to play in to get in the playoffs, and then, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I guess to wrap up about, like, my free agency, like, thoughts, I think the biggest winners this season were the Warriors, because I feel like every single title contender either got worse or stayed the same.
Yeah. And they were able to retain, you know, their guys when, you know, because there's always that little fervor that Kevin Durant might leave, but
he
stayed. So there's another year where there's not a real – I mean, even the Rockets last year were this team that everyone said will compete with them, but they got worse.
Yes.
So now they're even further out into the race now.
And CP3 is another year older.
Yep. And won't make it to the playoffs because he got injured.
Yeah, I mean, he gets injured every year. It's like him and Blake both. Like, I can see why the Clippers traded or got rid of both of them. Like, frustration.
Yeah. And then the last thing I was going to mention is, what do you think of all the restricted free agency weirdness? Like, Capella is still out there. Marcus Smart got a small deal. Jabari Parker actually moved teams, but he, you know, his situation was kind of special.
Yeah, and he got that 2-year, like, that, you'll see, yeah, he got his money this year, but, like, he's, like, I think almost completely non-guaranteed for next season. So, like yeah, he got his $20 million, but, like, that's it. That's less than he would have gotten, you know, if he re-signed probably with the Bucks in a longer deal. I mean, he's opportunity to make more money later, but, like, not a great deal for him. Right. So, I think it's kind of a product of the market. Like, you talk about, like, you know, cap space, and you talk about, like, leverage. It's like in these restricted free agent markets, the teams hold most of the leverage because, you know, they can match any offer. There's not a lot of cap space out there. I think the only team that really has any cap space left is the Kings. So there's nobody who's going to give out these huge contracts like the Nets in previous years to jack up these prices on these players. Or So I think it's weird, but I kind of saw it coming. Because it was, like, with, like, Marcus Smart, it's like, okay, like, other than the Kings, who's going to offer him, like, $20 million? It's like, it's no one. Nobody has that money. And if they have that money, they're either going to save it for next season or they're going to use it in different ways.
It's not smart for some of the – especially those young building teams. I think they kind of realize that it's not smart to just, like, pour your money into those guys anymore.
Right.
You always want to keep that flexibility. Having, you know, cap space available is like the, I think it's just as important as having like a superstar on your team.
Yeah.
In some ways.
Well, the thing is with cap space now, with so many teams trying to clear cap, it was more beneficial for these teams to take on money because these teams would be desperate to get off of it and willing to give up assets. Like, everybody has cap space. It's no thing for them because everybody has money. Nobody needs to get off of it. The market's going to be a lot better to take on money. But it's like, right now, if you have cap space, you want to take on these bad contracts and get picks.
Yep. Like, you look at the Nets, perfect example. They don't really have any marquee guys on their team, but they've been able to just acquire draft picks and just fairly good assets just because they haven't spent their money elsewhere.
Yeah, and they've done a really good job of describing players that, like, are below, you know, like, slip through the cracks. Like, I was freaking out the other day on a group chat. I don't think anybody that he said anything about that. Was it Devontae Graham?
Yeah, Devontae Graham and Shabazz.
Yeah, two of those freaking, I think, two of the best bench players available, and they freaking got both of them on, like, next-to-nothing deals at the end of free agency. Like, that's a smart decision to do that. Like, grab players who just are out there that are good and get them below market price.
Yeah, and because what's the worst that can happen? You just cut them.
Right.
What's the best that can happen? They become star, or they become really solid players.
Right. Which I think, you know, Shabazz showed that last season. Like, he's, like, a legitimate, like, good backup point guard. I don't understand why, like, he couldn't get a better deal.
It's like, I think we said that too, like the NBA always does that. Like, there are always those weird things like, how did that guy slip, or how did that guy not get paid yet or whatnot?
Yeah.
But things always tend to happen sometimes.
And it's not like, you know, like, I would say sometimes, like, oh, you know, these GMs are smarter than us, so they know better. But sometimes, like, we blast these GMs, and people are like, oh, no, I'm sure they know what they're doing, but they don't. And they just, like, they make stupid decisions. And it's like, do the fans know more than some of these GMs sometimes? Because it's kind of rough out there at times.
Yeah. I don't know. You always wonder, you know, what they're looking at, or what they actually want. Because you figure their number one goal would be to get great talent at a cheap price.
Yeah.
But sometimes they're like, I'm in love with Timothy Mozgov. I'm going to trade for him. Because I love him. And it's like, bitch, Kupchak, what are you doing?
Right. It's like, oh, I love Bismack Biyombo. I'm going to give him $20 million a season. It's like, why? Why would you do that? In summer of 2016 aside, like, there's been a lot less, like, crazy signing since then as well.
But yeah. No, and this has been, I mean, outside of, I mean, some of the bigger names staying, this still was a pretty interesting offseason and free agency period, I'd say. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, I think one of the most interesting things is how many people signed one-year deals, which I think is going to make a crazy offseason next year, because you have a lot of those 2016 and 2015 people coming off the books. So it's like, we're going to have, like, freaking half the league in free agency next season.
Yeah. And I think the players and everyone, this offseason was kind of just a waiting or a sitting duck, like just kind of hanging out and waiting out the year, and then next year is when, you know, all the real play is going to come in. So
right, especially with so much cap space going to be open next season.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Well, I think that's going to do it. We've went almost an hour here, so I think we got to cut it. Otherwise, we're going to get on another tangent, and we're going to be in a, you know, hour and 15-minute podcast.
Right. Yeah. But it was fun talking to you. I was glad we got a little break, but I always enjoy coming on and talking basketball with you.
Yeah, glad to be back. Hopefully we can get back on our regular posting schedule here now that we're in the dog days of summer, and hopefully there's some stuff to talk about, or I'm sure we can always just talk about, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no, there's always fun stuff to talk about in the NBA. Well, there's always stories for the whole.
All right, dude. Well, thank you for coming on. Thank you to SeatGeek and Amazon. And check out, you know, our sponsors down below and the show notes. Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. That way, with our regular podcast scheduling, they just pops up and you can give us a listen. And we are on Stitcher. We're on a couple of different other things. So check us out there.
And look at our not just our pods, but our great written stuff. As Rob said, you wrote a good article this week. I've got a couple articles.
Yeah, right. Great writer here, Brandon Sysag. All-star producer, bench player, writer.
Subpar writer. I have, some things on the burner that I'm, looking around and want to write about and dig into. So, along with our pods, we have some good written stuff, too. So always check that stuff out.
Yep, and I'll talk to you next week, bro.
All right, talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Driving and Diming podcast. We hope you enjoyed our program. If you like what you heard, feel free to look at our website at basketbloggersblog.com to check out our weekly written content as well as our other podcasts. Also, follow us on Twitter at basketbloggers. That's basket, BLOGGRS. Thanks also to SeatGeek and Amazon for sponsoring this podcast. All of you know what Amazon is, but for those that don't know about SeatGeek, SeatGeek is a ticket app that helps make the ticket buying experience a breeze. All you do is download the SeatGeek app or go to SeatGeek.com, look for your event, and check for tickets available. SeatGeek rates each ticket on a 0 to 100 scale to let you know what kind of deal you'll be getting with your purchase. The green tickets represent the best value, while the red is not so great. I've used SeatGeek a lot in the past for various basketball, hockey, football games, a lot of different sports and concerts, and I always get a great deal with SeatGeek. But the savings aren't just for me, they're for you as well. Listeners of the Driving and Diming podcast get $20 off their first purchase if they use the code SGSYSAK. That's S-G and my last name, S-Y-S-A-K. Remember, whether you're looking for tickets for a concert, comedy act, or sporting event, use SeatGeek and use our code SGSYSAK for $20 off your first purchase. Thanks again to all of our listeners and readers. We appreciate each and every one of you and hope you continue to support our site. And remember to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend. Catch you guys next time.